This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. It's Sunday morning. You wake up. You're living the life of luxury as a backup running back. Everyone at your work is richer than you, but everyone you know outside of work is way poorer than you. You essentially just work out 6 days a week and then cheer on your team on Sundays and get a huge paycheck for it. But today, halfway through the first quarter, you're having a conversation over some Gatorade with the equipment manager, Brent. Brent's family got a horse, and you have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, man, I got a horse. Do they have a farm? No, my sister's got a farm, and we split it, so I get to see it, you know, in the summertime.
Oh, it's like having visitation.
I have visitation horse. Rights with the horse.
Do you ride the horse? Are you training the horse race?
No. It's more just like just to say I co-own a horse.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. Why is everyone yelling my name right now?
What?
You find out pretty soon that the starting running back and backup running back have both been injured. And it's your turn to go in. You really haven't memorized the playbook at all. You kind of know the like the victory formation kneel play, because you're in for that a lot at the end of the games. And you know, like, the 2-minute drill where they dump off to you repeatedly because you're down by 30 points, because you're in for that at the end of games. You go in, and the first quarterback gives you the first play call once you get in there.
XY Farmer Z out route 220 on 4.
Hi, you run up to the guard and just ask a simple question. Is that a run or a pass?
It's an option.
Option.
Yeah.
Okay. You hope it's a triple option because that's what you remember from playing NCAA football 1999 when you were a kid.
It's quadruple option. Oh, just a heads up.
You line up. You can't even imagine what the fourth thing could be in the quadruple option. Is there an option to punt?
Yeah, man.
Why would we do that? Oh, fuck. Okay. The quarterback takes a snap. He rolls left. The edge rusher is standing there. The edge... Is he going to commit to the quarterback? Is he going to commit to you?
He commits to the quarterback.
I'm the quarterback,
and I'm pitching you the ball.
He pitches you the ball, and you've got space. And as you run out past the 30, past the 40, you could feel fantasy players pulling you up on their waiver wire columns all across America because you're the next man up.
But then you realize... You're running in the wrong direction.
Oh, no. And you can feel the few fantasy owners that already owned you, like your cousins, friends, dropping you, doing that thing where they drop you before waiver night just so that they know immediately if they can make a different move if their waiver. You know, it's like someone gets dropped on Monday and there's no corresponding pickup. And you're like, why did they do that? And then at midnight, you're like, oh, I get it. I should have done that. That's what they're doing to you. Because you're the next man up, and it's next man up today.
Welcome to Foosballs, guys. It is next man up day today because we do not have Carl Tart.
Yes.
He's scabbing once again.
Our starting host is also out.
Yeah, he's scabbing. He's still working on the new Avatar movie as the lead.
Yes, Avatar, The Way of Carl, as we all know.
Yep. But we're very lucky. We have a wonderful guest with us today, Paul Scheer. AKA LA Hamstrings.
I'm excited to be here, and I feel like that was a great
really a pitch for Choose Your Own Adventure kind of style of football books that we open the show with.
Yes.
I mean, imagine yourself as this. I feel like this could be a whole series of New Kids books. You shouldn't put this on the air. This should be self-published Choose Your Own Adventure fantasy.
What are we doing?
It's not a bad idea.
I would love it.
The NFL would
you
get
have
in
to
on
choose.
This.
Like, what is that? Is that a running play or is that a passing play? You got to pick. Page 42, page 27.
I love it.
Come on.
I mean, the decision tree sprawls out pretty quickly with every play.
Oh, I mean,
the book's long as fuck.
There's a lot of plays. You have to memorize, and there's a playbook in the front that you're supposed to memorize before you start to read it, but you got other shit going on.
Pages
you can't do
six
it.
And up.
Yeah, it's sort of like George R. R. Martin stuff where there's some homework books that you have to read before you read the main book.
Well, I do think it is apropos that Carl is not here for, what is this, week two of your show?
Yeah. Well, week two since the regular season, week four overall, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like this is the season of, like, a lot of crazy-ass injuries. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I grew up in New York. I grew up a Jets fan. Like, it wasn't from a Jets household, but I grew up when the Giants were doing good. Like, this is the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to be a Jets fan. I always felt like I wanted to go the opposite direction.
I feel,
you know?
Yeah.
And I love the Jets. They've been disappointing all the time. And I always know, no matter what happens with the Jets, no matter how good it looks on paper, no matter if everything is going in their direction, it will be derailed.
Yeah.
So all, you know, I'm going to say summer, but all since Aaron Rodgers came to the Jets, or it's coming, he's coming. And I was like, are you excited? Are you excited? And I would say to everybody, no. Because I knew that if he came, something terrible would happen. Now, I wasn't hoping for an injury. I didn't even think it was an injury.
You didn't want to be right.
No, I was like, oh, the stadium will just fall into a sinkhole. Like, something.
Yeah.
Like,
Dark Knight Rises style.
100%. I knew. And so I didn't ever let myself get even in that mindset. But then I watch Hard Knocks. I'm like,
oh no.
I don't even really like that much Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, I kind of like him. Although my wife is keeping me like in the right pocket because she's like, he's still an asshole. And I'm like, but isn't he lovable? She's like, no, he just talks at people. I'm like, I don't know. I like him. And I'm getting a little bit more excited. And this is the most excited I've been since the last time the Jets were on Hard Knocks when they were also going to have a great season.
Yeah.
When was that?
God.
2011.
Was that Sanchez or post Sanchez?
That was
immediately post
Sanchez. Yeah, I think it was maybe tail end of Sanchez.
Those were great teams. I said this last week. Those were great teams except Sanchez.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sanchez is so interesting. And that was my favorite moment in Hard Knocks where they had that one player, I forget who it was, name all of his kids, and he was having a hard time remembering
all of
his kids' names.
Was it Cromartie?
Yes.
I think it was.
Yeah. It was a great clip that I feel like I watched a million times. And he was like lost for like, he had 12 kids. He was like lost around 10. He was like, I feel like I know some more. But yeah, so this season, I'm like, well, you know, I'm gonna sit back. I have no expectations. And my God, that first game.
That's wild.
It was, to me, it encapsulated everything that I love about the Jets, which is like, there is this tremendous defeat and it's like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? And then they rose up to the challenge in a really wonderful way. And then I actually looked on the waiver wire. I was like, you know what? Maybe and I was like, nah.
Who on the
Zach Wilson?
I'm forgetting his name, the backup QB.
Zach Wilson.
And I was like, and this is what you're gonna find for me the entire show. I'm gonna be very, very bad with names. But Zach Wilson, I was like, maybe. I was like, no, but he's like a mess. Like, I mean, but I was like, but maybe he'll step up to it. And boy, oh boy, I was so glad that it only was a fleeting thought.
Avoided that.
Oh, it was rough. It was a rough
week. Yeah, they won that game.
And then to run into the Dallas defense the next week is no fun.
Deer in headlights.
Because Dallas, when you think about it, week one, Dallas destroys Daniel Jones. And week two, I believe Daniel Jones was the highest scoring fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
So not playing that, but still. And also, like, the swing from Dallas to Arizona is huge.
Yeah.
So
it's literally 1-32.
I think they play San Fran this week, too? So it's back to the
Giants do. Yeah.
Yeah, the Giants do. So.
But now I guess the question is, also with the Jets, I'm like, what do? You can't have him the whole season.
I don't think so.
You got
to like, get a, I yeah. think you got to find something. Well, so and
they were talking about, I feel like they had this conversation on ESPN before the season started. It's like, they don't really have another plan besides Aaron Rodgers. It's like, that's it. And it was, you know, and like, oh man, they got, I don't even know who you get.
I mean, Carson Wentz is the name that keeps popping up. But then at that point, it's like, what for what? What goal are we trying to, to just to get the seventh seed, hopefully, fingers crossed, and then just get annihilated in the first round?
Like, I know.
Maybe just we get a good draft pick.
Do they even have their own draft pick, though?
Oh, yes.
Because Rodgers isn't going to play.
Because Rodgers is not playing. So
if Rodgers had played a certain amount of the snaps, then the Packers would have had to give up their first rounder. Right.
Yeah, so now it stays a second rounder. But now there's this chatter that Rodgers could possibly be back by playoff time.
I don't buy it.
I mean, by the way, do you want him back at playoff? Do you want that? Like as a basketball fan, like even looking at how gently Kawhi plays on his, you know, like,
I know,
like
it's
like,
man.
Do you want to? Because I guess the question is, do you want to? You don't want to come back in playoff time because that's when you have to play the hardest, right? Like your body should be the best. And it's like if you're coming back
bad from weather, weird,
Back from an injury, like you, if you're even hesitant about it a little bit, and you're also then out of sync with the whole team.
Yeah, you'll re-enter. And by if they've gotten that far to the point where you're possibly playing, like, are you going to disrupt that? Like, are we going to, you're going to,
if they make the playoffs, then something worked.
Right. And then it's sort of like, but to me, it's like, this is what I was thinking the other day, and no one's going to say it yet, but it's like, do you just retire? Because if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're like, all right, we did it. Like, it's not going to get better. It's like, all right, so now you're going to have your third comeback on, you know, this.
What's left?
Yeah. It's like, this was, in my opinion, like, this was probably going to be his last year anyway, right? I mean.
But I don't think in a million years he'd do it because he's such a contrarian fucking guy.
Right.
That it's like he has talked about retiring multiple times.
Yeah.
And didn't do it. But now that this is, like, he won't go out like this. He has to come back just to prove it. And he did his, like, dark is always, or it's always darkest before the dawn. which is not true if you're in a darkness retreat. It's always darkness all the time.
It's dark always. He got annoying again real fast after the injury.
Well, he put him in a hospital bed. He's going to be a lot of time to tweet, talk. A lot of stuff that's going to be dumb as shit.
I think because, he was talking about retiring for a minute and then he signs with the Jets and people were like, okay, so it'll be a year or two. And he's like, I'm thinking three probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to reduce my salary by $30-something million, right?
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, he took like a massive pay cut so that they could
get
spend in free agency.
Dalvin Cook and Randall Cobb.
And so I think he's going to make one last go of it next year.
And I guess, the question will have to be, though, too, can he physically? Because that's the other thing, too. It's like the want may be there. You got a long road of recovery. And it's also as you get older, it's like, what does that recovery look like? You hope it's going to be great, but it's not like it's not a sure thing.
And Achilles is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bad one. That's the real bad one.
I mean, what happened to Kobe? And Kobe was younger than Rodgers at that point.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and Achilles sucks.
And it's especially when, you know, it's like not that these guys are going after him. And I don't think he was attacked on that play at all.
No.
But if you're in playoffs, You might.
Like, we're going after that Achilles.
Yeah. It's like you're not gonna, you know.
I mean, you better believe the Eagles were going after Mahomes' ankle every single time. It's like, we'll give that thing a little grab. You know, why not? I'm a big Chiefs fan. So watching all these,
This is interesting. I love that. Go ahead. I've thought about the Chiefs. All right.
And I know the feeling of storm clouds, like always hanging over you, just always expecting the worst. But I watch like all the mic'd up like Super Bowl videos and everything. And late in the second half, you guys remember Mahomes goes down and he's like writhing in agony.
Mm-hmm.
And all the like Eagles players that were mic'd up, it's like, ooh.
Ooh.
Oh man, that ankle. Oh no.
That'd
hurt.
Be a shame.
Oh no.
I am dying. And I guess in like maybe 10 years when some great sports reporter writes the book, what the fuck did they do to him in the middle, in that halftime? Like, what did they shoot into his leg? Or was he faking it the entire time? I don't know. Like, yeah. I've heard a lot of different conspiracy theories. Like, people said he was faking it. Someone said, I don't think he's faking it, but he went from hobbling to running plays, rushing plays. Like, yeah. He looked amazing in that second half.
Yeah. He claims nothing. He claims nothing starting with the Jaguars game because he heard it in the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
And he says nothing, like that they didn't give him anything.
But there's a marked difference yeah. in that Super
and
Bowl.
And high ankle sprains are no joke. I forget what the drug is, but they shot him up with
what's
something.
What's it, cortisone? Is that what they
yeah,
do?
I mean,
cortisone?
Like,
cortisol?
I also yeah. feel like, I mean, not, I have no idea how any of this works, but whatever is illegal, you could probably get into him on a Super Bowl game because no one's checking after that Super Bowl.
Like, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. All right, drug test me after. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
That's the movie. It's yeah. about a like nerdy drug tester guy for the NFL who has to fly to Cancun and chase down the quarterback who just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, just
and
the wrong towel boy walking into the training room has become an opium den.
And by the way, that's the other thing too. Like, so this is an interesting moment here for me because I feel like this might be my first public announcement that I think I might become a Chiefs fan.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome.
Because here's my issue. We were going to become, like, I've been having a hard time. I did the show The League for a long time. I was very much involved in fantasy football, and I never really picked my team. And I was here for, obviously, the teams coming to LA, and I was like, oh, what do I do? And I was like, I like the Chargers in San Diego, but I was like, also like, I didn't know where to feel, right? And I'll root for the Rams, but I also like the Bengals. Like, I'm a little agnostic when it comes to football.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I still with the Jets, but this year my kids are old enough. They like football. And we're like, let's have a team. Let's really all go in. So we all decide my wife is very much like, we're in LA. We're going to be, you know, Rams fans or Chargers fans, and we all decided Rams fans. And my wife, after the first week, like, springs it on me. She's like, you can't do it. Can't be a Rams fan. And I go, why? And she's like, Matt Stafford, I don't like him. And I'm like, why? And she's like, the woman fell down off the stage. And I was I didn't even know what this was. And I'm like, Googling the this woman. Image. And I was like, and there's this image after they won the Super Bowl where it's like a yeah. woman is like taking a picture of him. And she falls off like a 6 foot yeah. platform.
Yeah.
And he looks at her like, just like you just described, like people look at Mahomes like, ooh, and yeah. just turns yeah. and walks away while Stafford's wife like goes to help her up.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't a great look.
And she was seriously hurt.
Yeah, she
Kelsey
like
Grammer.
Yes, and she like fractured mean? Her spine.
When you ever seen Kelsey Grammer fall off a stage?
No.
Oh, it's one of the best things you'll ever see. Kelsey Grammer is like presenting at Disney for some sort of like corporate retreat.
Yeah.
He's like the magic of Disney, and he's walking, but the stage is kind of like cut out like a pumpkin's mouth, like so it's like it's weird angles like that, and he just kind of is walking and he's like hole, and he just drops down. Yeah. He's like, oh god, no, and it's like, but it's like Kelsey Grammer, like, it's like Grape Stomp, but Kelsey Grammer's like, oh god, oh.
And he's still in character as Frasier,
so fucking funny. But so my wife is like, we can't be Rams fan. I'm like, damn. And my son is a Chiefs fan, and my other son's a Philadelphia fan. Which is interesting. And they came at that not through the Super Bowl. That was like, an individual. And our next door neighbor used to play for the Eagles, so we have that kind of connection. But it was like, so, but I feel like we all watch quarterback. We like quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hang out with Patrick Mahomes one night. And yeah, that was a crazy moment.
Oh boy, Ryan, calm down.
So it was after COVID.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that we had taken a family vacation in like 3 years. And we're like, all the money that we would have spent on multiple vacations over the 3 years, we're going to like spend it up. Let's do it nice. Let's go to like a Hawaii. We went to Hawaii with the kids. We're so psyched, and we're walking through a hotel, and they're like a luau, but it was like a private luau, and it was like Mahomes family, and I was like, and I take a picture of that to send to my buddy Rob Riggle, Kansas City guy, Kansas City fan, has done all the things that you can do as a Kansas City fan, and I take a picture of my your buds here, and I don't hear anything back, and I'm in bed now with my wife and kids, we're all asleep, but it's like early because it's, you know, my kids go to bed early.
Right.
And 10:30, my phone pops and I was like, You joking? I'm here. I'm like, you are? He's like, yeah, I'm here with the Mahomes golf tournament thing. I'm like, he's like, come on, come out. And now he's like, I'm like, I'm in bed, but I'm like, yeah, where are you? He's like, I'm at the restaurant, which is like right outside my door.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I'm like, I'm throwing my shorts, go, yeah, run out there. And it's the entire Chiefs team.
Oh,
that are all
this
there.
Is a dream.
Oh my God.
And we are, and they're celebrating Mahomes's sister, who's like, I think 14 or 13. She's celebrating like a teen birthday. His mom's there, his dad's there, his brother's there, and the entire family. So the like it's like this party. It, you know, it's a hotel, it's in our hotel where like, and they have just rented out the entire restaurant, and the Chiefs are almost like the Last Supper style. Like they're at this big table, and we're in an adjacent table. We're at the party, but we're not at the Chiefs table. And gosh, I don't want to be at that Chiefs
table. Tyreek Hill is Judas.
I was just, God damn it. I was going to say the same fucking thing.
So I'm hanging out with Riggle, and we're having a good time, and everyone's talking. Everyone is just, you know, it's full on party mode. People are going for it. But I'm like looking around, I'm like, well, who the hell am I sitting with? Like, who are you guys? Like, I know, like, you know, and I'm like, oh, what do you guys do? And I realized as I was talking to everybody, I was at the table of Patrick Mahomes's money managers. It was like four dudes and like their sons.
Yeah.
So like, oh yeah, we manage Patrick's money. Wow. I was like, got it. Like, so we were at the money manager table. Yeah, yeah. I was like, it takes this team to figure out where to put all that money. Because he just renegotiated again this week.
Yeah, today or yesterday.
$210 million over 4 years.
And didn't he buy a chunk of the Royals?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's keeping the money in KC.
That's cool.
Yeah. And his wife owns a good chunk of the women's soccer team, professional soccer team.
Yeah, they really are like, cool. They're throwing it back to KC. So anyway, like, I like KC. I like him. And the whole rest of that vacation was just spent like with Mahomes. And like, it was crazy because you'd be in a pool. God damn, that person's giant. And they're like, oh, that's a football player. That's
yeah.
You know? And that's why I felt on the league, we would do these scenes and you meet J.J. Watt. I'm older than J.J. Watt. But when I meet him, it's like, oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because like, they are, it's like, you know, when you can like blow up a font size on Microsoft Word where you're like, all right, I can make it like 75%. Like we're all at 100% and football players are like 125. They're just a little. They're not gargantuan, but they will intimidate you.
They stand out. Yeah.
Then the wild thing is you put them next to an NBA player and in terms of height, not weight, but in terms of height, now suddenly like this guy who's 6'5 looks like he's fucking tiny. Yeah. Next to like.
Well, do you think they feel what we feel in that situation?
I don't know. Do you think if they saw Ben Simmons, they would automatically respect him? Maybe bad example.
But you know what? It's interesting. Like, I feel like there is like, it's interesting to see like the rivalries and stuff, like not the rivalries, but the support of amongst, like, I feel like basketball and football have this like interesting crossover. It's like, Coach Prime's game this weekend, it was like, you got The Rock, you have like, I think Kawhi was there.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's out there. It's like this thing of like, there is an interesting dynamic between like basketball and football, I think, as like lifestyle. Like, I think there's a lifestyle that's better than baseball. I don't think
playing 162 fucking games a year, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the footage of when LeBron put together that touch football game with like Durant and all this?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was.
Because LeBron was a stud wide out.
Yeah. I've seen clips of Durant playing football, like, but I think it's always with kids.
Oh,
have you seen that?
No.
You know what it is? It's like, and by the way, I'm sure he's great at it. It's like, it's interesting because I think any professional athlete that you see do something, like, I watched Andy Roddick. We have a pickleball court in our driveway. It's nothing fancy. We just taped and now we painted lines. It's
not,
it's a regular driveway.
Yeah.
It's, you know, nothing too fancy. But Andy Roddick came over and he's like, I haven't really done this. And then proceeded to, like, I was like, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
Like any professional athlete just being like, I'm not throwing the ball around. You're like,
seeing it in person up close and being a part of it's got to be wild.
It was shocking on a level that was. And I have a friend who also was like, he played Arizona baseball in college. It just, there's a level of athleticism that like no matter what they do, they just look better at it. Like yeah. they look like it's like and like it so yeah, so Durant, easy. It's like yeah. it's like, oh yeah, he can play football. You think like, oh yeah, they can play football. Like they almost are it's like Paul McCartney. Like you play pretty much yeah. any instrument. Like there's something yeah. he's really good at, but like he'll be able to figure it out.
Hand him a harp. I'm sure he'll.
Yeah,
like,
he'll I think this works like this.
I remember. So I'm a Steelers fan, yeah. and when TJ Watt got drafted at the end of the first round that year, you know, it was an interesting thing where he'd only been playing defense for like 1 year, but obviously,
really?
Just being JJ Watt's brother, you were excited. He had been like a tight end fullback at Wisconsin, and then switched to playing edge rusher and been great, but everyone was like, oh, it's only been a year, and he fell to us at the end of the... And I remember there was a profile on him that made me first think, like, oh, he might be fucking really good, which was... And part of it was that he worked out with JJ in the summer, and they would do these insane football workouts at one of those facilities, and then on their breaks, on their rest period, they would go outside, there was a hoop, and they would play pickup basketball for their
Whoa.
Break, right? And JJ said that TJ just... like threw it off the backboard to himself and did a windmill dunk. And JJ was like, where did you learn that? He's like, I don't know. I just did it just now.
Whoa.
And JJ was like, I think TJ's a better athlete than me. And that was like me as a Steelers fan getting like yeah. so fucking rock hard. I was like, this is the greatest draft pick we've ever made.
You know, it's so funny. When we did the league with JJ, we were doing something and we could tell that there was an issue. Like, well, what's the issue? Like, why does he have to go? Or like, there was just an energy of like, we got to get him out. And I was like, yeah. I thought we had him for the whole day. And I was like, no, we needed to hit his workout time. He found a gym where we were shooting. He just needed like 45 minutes to hit that gym. Came back immediately, but it was like, left the set, yeah. went to a local gym, worked out, then came back. I've never, of all the time that we have ever done that show and all those people, that we had, I never experienced that. Like he was
really?
Yeah, I'm not going to miss my workout time. And that was like,
for him.
And you know, and that was just a weekday. Yeah, like it was, I'm even trying to think if that was even in season at that point because it was an early episode. So we might've been shooting that like summer-ish, you know?
Just made me think of this. Where would the Texans, like the Texans are a bad franchise, but without JJ Watt, if you took him out of the mix, would they be like the worst franchise ever?
Ooh,
I mean, those few years where they were like making the playoffs and he had like that touchdown in the wild card game against.
Yeah, I would say no. I think even before JJ, they had the kind of run with Matt Schaub,
Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, I guess.
Yeah.
That was a good run. I think the team that people look to is like the shittiest team, even if, no matter what they do, is the Lions. Like there's a it's like, because it was sort of like this thing, like when the Lions beat the Chiefs in that first Thursday night game, it was sort of like, well, I mean, they've been on an 8-game losing streak to like Super Bowl champ. Like it's like all their stats are how much they lose. Like, you know, it's like, but it's a lovable franchise. I think
so.
Well, and
yeah,
they've had like, arguably the greatest running back of all time.
Yeah.
I would argue a top five receiver of all time in Calvin Johnson, you know, if he had played a few more years, he would have. Same with, it's funny, both of those guys retired early.
One of the great edge rushers of all time. Robert Porche.
got me. Oh, you're going to say Ziggy Ansah. Well, now they have Hutchinson, who's got like the most pressures through 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's good.
He's been great.
They're a team that's got a lot of talent. That's had a lot of
Detroit.
Talent. Yes, yeah, Detroit. It's kind of like a race between the Lions and the Browns for the most ineptitude.
So let's talk about it.
And by the way, I was hoping for that ineptitude in that first of week one. I know we're not talking about week one, but when I had Joe Burrow there, I was like, come on, guys. And Joe Burrow's a quarterback getting 3 points.
Yeah.
My first week sucked.
Let's look at
the first time I've lost. I am in three leagues, and it was the first time I've ever lost all three in a row.
Feeling.
And it was like that. But I actually felt like I drafted really well. And I was like, but people just didn't show up that first week.
Happened.
It was a weird.
You bounce back. You got to win this week.
I mean, barely, though.
Talk about your team. Yeah. Who you got?
All right, so let me take a look here. This week I did win. And now I don't know who everybody is. I got Bane
I just
from
changed
Batman
my name.
Rides.
That was Sean.
Okay.
That's Sean.
So my team is Burrow, T. Higgins. I'm putting a lot in that Bengals bucket.
Great bounce back week for T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns. Huge.
I got Sutton. I got, I got Rashad White.
A nice little game.
Yeah.
I actually have another team where I have Sutton and White.
Javonte Williams. Kelsey couldn't play the first week. That was another reason why I lost.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
And then, now I always forget how you pronounce his name. I haven't watched him yet this
Olave?
Week. Olave, yeah.
Boy, he had a catch last night that was incredible. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it? He's down the sidelines, like 40-yard chuck. I would argue that his right hand was being held.
Yeah.
And he goes out, stabs it with the left hand for a little bobble, catches it, and then is able to get both hands under it before it was catch of the week. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, I did think I had, like I feel like my draft, like there was an interesting, our draft, yeah. It was interesting because I made some choices in this league that I wouldn't have made in other leagues. I was like, you know what? Let's keep it interesting for me. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Because the time of the draft was almost certainly everyone's last draft.
Yes.
So I feel like there were a lot of people who was like, this is my last, for me, it was my last chance to get Jalen Hurts. And I was like, I want him. You know?
Yeah. Well, that was it. Like, it was like, there are certain things I want to do. And thank God, I did not go with Aaron Rodgers in that moment.
Ooh.
But Jonathan Taylor is the guy that I took the chance on.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I didn't buy he's going to sit out.
Mm-mm.
And as a matter of fact, it seems like he's ready to go. He could be ready to go in week 5.
He posted some Instagram videos. He's in the training facility playing, so maybe he's kind of back on board with the with
that's
the team.
What I kind of feel like. Yeah. I feel like if he wants to be a free agent next year, he's got to put up a good year.
You can't do the Le'Veon Bell thing.
You can't do the Le'Veon Bell.
And by the way, and I always think it's like the other thing too, it's like you play really well, you actually open up trade possibilities too. It's like when you sit on the bench, it's like this is my issue with Harden, not to make it about basketball. My issue with Harden too is like show up and play on the 76ers, and then you get traded.
Yeah,
like, you know. But if you just sit on the bench, it actually, like, who wants that?
You get a stink on you.
Yeah.
You get a stink.
I mean,
and then your team doesn't want to give you up because they can't get anything in return for
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, as we all just saw in your great example of Ben Simmons. I mean, Ben Simmons is like, what's up with Ben Simmons? I mean, come on.
I think he's a great late-round flyer in fantasy basketball this year.
But this is like, I mean, what do you think of this?
So you went Kelsey first.
I went, yeah, that was
and then Olave second.
Yes,
and then what? Like Higgins third, probably.
I think so. I'm you know, this is where I forget. Like again, after drafting so many times,
but roughly.
Yeah, my thought
what if
was
I could recite our entire draft.
Yeah, just go back. Like, I mean, look, I like Kelsey. I felt like Kelsey was the right choice to make.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I said on the pod last week that I feel like even people who drafted Kelsey know after the injury news were still feeling good because a few tight ends. I had TJ Hockenson in a league. He had a great week this week. No tight ends did shit week one.
Yeah.
And so you have Kelsey, you're still feeling good. A couple people did, and I think Hunter Henry scored another fucking touchdown. So like Njoku was dog shit for the Browns last night and fumbled. Like Darren Waller's doing nothing. So if you have Kelsey even missing the first week, you're feeling good. He scored a touchdown this week, right?
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, like, and what I feel like is interesting is like he'll be fine. Like he's going to be fine, and he's going to be consistently playing. And it's like, and I felt like my draft in this league was a late season. I was playing to the late season. Like, yes. I was like, I'm like, or the Smart. Full season, you know, I'm like, this is what I think
Jonathan
is
Taylor give, move. Yeah.
See, opposite of me who has multiple teams with Michael Thomas, feeling great about it, right? And Raheem Mostert feeling great about these guys right now that'll almost certainly be injured by week 6.
Well, by the way, look, I mean, I did pick up the Jets because like, well, I'll have the Jets on this team. Jets this week. 0 points.
Yeah, they got me -1 in a league.
I ran the Giants out because they were playing the Cardinals and they got me -1.
Oh my God. And look, that's not, like, I would say this also. I love this kind of simplistic fantasy that we are playing here. We're not playing defensive positions. We're not playing multiple flex. We're not playing two QBs.
The super flex.
Like, yeah, I think, but also I like about this is like the waiver wire then has some energy to it too. Like, you just can't scoop up a million people. I'm in a giant league where it's like, there's nothing. It's just all garbage. It's because you have so many flex positions and it's like, you're playing a million people.
Your roster so deep. How many people are in the league?
I have a 14 team league. I have a 12 team league.
I've never done it for football. I've done 14 for basketball, which is tough, but I've never done it for football.
It's real tough. Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun because it really is all about your draft. And it's like, and you can have a great draft that just doesn't turn out to be great. Like, it's like, you don't have, it's not even about being lucky about where you pick. I did say that this year I felt like the best on that league because I picked seven. I picked right in the middle and I got to pick my spot and I was like, oh, that's actually the best place to be there. I'm like, I'm not getting the top seven. Of the, you know, and it's like, it's a nice,
you're never waiting too long. You don't have that, like, you know, till next pick and it says like 24. Oh, it's brutal.
No, it's like, it's rough. And like, but that one is like, you just have to be aggressive. But if you're winning, you ain't going to get anything.
Yeah.
But that also then means like you're going to get hurt at the end of the season because you're going to be like, they're going to start sitting guys. So like, and that team runs a little bit too long. That runs a little bit later than it should. Like, it's like
week 18. Do they go the last week of the season? Like, oh, no.
Well, that's the thing that sucks because it's like, well, now I'm like running a team into like when they're getting like, that's when I need them the most and I got nothing. It's like, it's like, that's what makes it tricky.
I'm in a fantasy baseball playoffs right now that just started this week.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, we got to fix that next year because next week will be the finals and it's the last week. But lucky for me, because the guy who's the number one seed and been number one all year has Shohei Ohtani. So I'm like, actually, maybe this worked out this year.
You're like the Eagles on the sideline for Mahomes there. This is like, I mean, what do you all, because like, you have a much better look at the league than I do, because I don't even know who I'm playing against a lot of the times. I don't even know who's in the league 100%.
Well, let's run it down right now. So Steven, one of our fans, had an incredible week one and was out to a huge lead. He lost week two and has fallen to third. So there's only two teams that have won both weeks. That's Asan, who has
CD's nuts.
CD's nuts. I don't think he has CD Lamb on his team, which is a bit of a cheat to me, but I think, is Sasan a Cowboys fan? Is that his name?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. Big Cowboys fan.
He's got great lineup.
Mahomes and McCaffrey, and what more do you need to know?
I mean, he's got Mahomes, McCaffrey, he's got Mixon, he's got Moore, he's got
Keenan Allen, who's solid.
Wide receiver number one.
He's got a great, that's a
Philly,
nice one.
Philly defense, too.
He also has one of my favorite kickers of all time. I love this guy. Like, he's been, Koo, like, has been on many of team of mine, just consistently putting up, you know,
love it.
8 points, whatever. It's like, just consistent kicker. It's like, I'm not afraid of repping a nice kicker that can just give me.
Hold on to him?
Yep.
I think I have Justin Tucker in this league. He got auto-drafted to me, and he's doing really well.
Yes, Ryan was in a storm in Kansas City.
Not even a storm.
Just
all of a sudden, I was going to the Chiefs Lions game, and I was at my folks' house, and the power inexplicably went out 10 minutes into our draft. And the next morning, I asked my mom, "I was like, have you guys been having like power outage lately?" She's like, "That's like the first time in 15, 20 years."
God really tried to spite Ryan's draft.
No storm, nothing.
I feel like there are moments when I've been drafting, in the history of my drafting for years and years, the best laid plans will always get messed up. I'm like, I'm ready. I got my laptop. I got my iPad. I got my phone. I'm ready to go. And then it's like, there was something in this draft where I was like, I missed. I think I did one auto pick because I was like, I looked away for a second because, again, it's also like this waiting time. I mean, I don't need much time to like deliberate. I know I have like two picks. I'm like, I'll get one of those people and that's it.
I got caught on one of those too. I have a trade I just offered in a different league. I wouldn't mind.
Let's hear it.
Tossing out there. I am offering George Pickens and DeAndre Swift for Saquon Barkley.
All right, so this is selling high on Swift, who, in the absence of Kenny Gainwell, had an incredible week. We know, I said this preseason.
Yeah.
Get you a piece of the Eagles' backfield. The piece that I chose was Rashad Penny, which obviously hasn't worked out. But I think it's
but
pretty
I would have taken Penny, yeah.
It's pretty fucking clear right now that any of these guys, if given, even Boston Scott, like Gainwell week one gets the carries, monster week. Swift week two gets the carries. So I might be holding on to Penny.
But that's a tricky play because the way that they're doing it, like whatever, by committee, it's like, but it's like, you don't know when that person is going to pop off. And it's like, and
exactly.
That's like, so you can have one of those guys on your bench and then you'll eat shit. And then, yeah. But then the next week you're like, I'll sit him. And it's like 34 points.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some clarity like in a few weeks. It's still super, right. Super
You hope
early.
That either, I mean, hope you don't hope for injuries, but either by injury or someone right. Emerging, you hope that there's clarity as the season goes on. Yeah. And any of those guys you drafted was not the pick that would be slated to start on your team. So it's totally fine to hold on to them and hope that they become the guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, this right now, this league that we're in, right? It's a 12-team league. And this is going to be the big week. It's week three, which is going to start to separate out some stuff. Because yeah. Obviously we have two people with 2-0.
Hassan and Hayes.
And so you've got Hassan this week.
Okay. Oh, so, I mean, that's going to be hard, you know, but I'm gonna try my best.
Oh, shit. I have Steven, who put up 190 week one. So I lost to Hayes.
I have Hayes. So I've got the other
So we've got the top. So next week we play the top three teams between us.
Well, and this is a tricky thing because it's sort of like, well, what's my strategy? My strategy is I got to play my guys. I mean, yeah. That's it. Like, it's like, they're like, it's like, yeah, I'm facing off against this guy. Who, like, but if I get lucky, I might do it. I mean, it's like, this is an interesting one here because it sort of feels like, I feel like I can have some, I don't know. I feel like I can have a good week. But again, I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean,
it's so early and the football overall has been so sloppy thus far that, I mean, especially from quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, I think was the number one fantasy quarterback this past weekend, and like that's not going to hold.
Or Daniel Jones,
Daniel Jones. Mahomes has been pretty sloppy.
You got to stick with Burrow.
I'm going to sit Burrow this week.
Who's your other QB?
I have Deshaun Watson.
Also not been
great,
but been better than Burrow.
Yeah, you know, but I wonder if like this is my plan because I feel like because Burrow is what he's like questionable right now. I mean, maybe it changes.
Yeah, calf is a little messed up.
You know, it's we'll see. We'll see how the week progresses. But I'm not, you know, I'm not afraid of a little just switching it up. I mean, you know, I mean, if I'm looking at the projections, which, you know, we'll see. I mean, they're both ranked about coming in the same. It's like, you know, Watson going up against Tennessee. It's not that they're, you know, I don't know. I feel like that's good. I don't know, you know.
It's I mean, the Bengals have the Rams, and I think Aaron Donald still owns the interior of that offensive line.
Yeah.
And he seems to be just on a tear this year. He's I think the whole Rams team feels like they have something to prove.
And I get it because they won the fucking Super Bowl and then they had an injured bad season and people started, there's like LA Times headlines that are like, should the Rams tank for Caleb Williams? And I'm like, if I were them, I'd be like, what the fuck? 2 years ago, we had like one of the best teams.
Well, this is like the thing. That's why I want to still be a Rams fan. I said to be a secret Rams fan because my wife won't. I'm like, I don't think that you should just
the woman.
Up. Yeah, she's like, you know, and I was like, the woman. I was like, and I had to Google it. I didn't even remember it. I thought it was going to be bigger. And then I tried to like, I didn't even go there to justify, because I read a lot of reasons of why he might have done that. One, which is just that he was just so drunk.
Yeah.
Which I buy, too. But again, I guess on some level, you have to look at that and go, yeah, he probably is a bad person. Like, you know, like, I, you know, like drunk or not.
NFL guy.
Do I still look like him?
Stafford? Yeah.
Back in the day, I got told I looked like him a ton, like before when I was clean shaven and he was, and we're both younger. I mean, my hair is much longer, to the point where I believe Nick Weiger told me once that Funny or Die, they were doing something with Stafford and they pitched a thing where we were twin brothers and
wow,
it didn't happen.
Cool.
Yeah, I was bummed.
The other person I think I'm going to sit this week on my team, again, I'm not sure. I think I'm going to start Marquise Brown.
He's been good.
Yeah.
Because the Cardinals aren't actually dog shit.
Yeah.
Both weeks, they like turn out to be okay, and then they're like, fuck, we're tanking. And in the second half, they have to give the game away.
Yeah.
But they're like, not Dobbs.
Actually,
yeah,
you know,
Dobbs, take it easy, pal.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Like, I'm kind of interested in seeing what he, you know, I think he's putting up consistently. You give me about 10 points. Like,
Who would you sit?
I think who I'm sitting this week would be.
You'd have to be Sutton.
Sutton, yes.
Yeah.
I have a lot of start sit this week because in my week two loss to Hayes, my bench went off. This is my bench. Drake London, who famously had dog shit week one. And mm-hmm. of course, I bench him 67 yards and a touchdown, 6 catches. Christian Kirk, dog shit week one. Yeah. Looks like he's not only behind Ridley, but Zay Jones. Christian Kirk has 11 catches for 110 yards on 14 targets. And in my Eckler injury, I fill in his backup, Josh Kelly, instead of playing Raheem Mostert, 120 yards. Now, luckily, I played Mostert in my other league where I have Eckler.
Yeah.
Well, now, let me ask you this question, because this is, like, look, fantasy football could be up and down every week. Is this like, you know, I'm playing you, but there's only so much I can, like, if I'm playing fantasy draft or DraftKings, that's a different thing. I can pick DFS, a team, I can make some choices.
Yeah.
This, I'm stuck. I'm, like, ultimately stuck. Like, I can't, there's only so many moves I can make. It's like, all right, so if I trade a quarterback, who's actually out there, you know, all that stuff. You can't even, the waiver wire, it's like, yeah, you could be a vulture, but it's like, only if you're losing. There's many different things.
Yeah.
So the way I kind of justify a good or bad week for myself is, did I play the best, like, if I look at my bench, like I look at my bench, I'm like, okay, I did look. Yes, I took some shots here, but like overall, I'm pretty happy with what I got. Like I'm pretty happy with what happened here.
You didn't leave any points on the board.
So
I left a few. I left a few.
Dark contrast to me.
Okay, yeah, because like that, because it's like that's the only way I can only say to myself that I picked the right. Like it's like playing poker. It's like these are the cards I got.
Yeah,
so did I play the best hand? Like somebody may have four aces. But I'm gonna give you the best. Like the only thing I probably would have probably liked to have done this, I should have played Marquise Brown this week. Javonte.
I've always felt, and I've made this joke before in fantasy football for me, that I'm a great fantasy GM and a bad fantasy coach. Because I have the guys on my fucking roster, but my start-sit decisions, like you're saying you sit Burrow, and I would never sit him, but it's because of a personal scar that I have, which is 2 years ago when Burrow makes that run at the end of the regular season that winds up taking him all the way to the Super Bowl, I pick him up to be my backup QB.
It still haunts you to this day.
It still haunts me because here's why. I pick him up to be my backup QB. I'm in the playoffs, and I'm like, well, I have Herbert, and Herbert's going against the Texans. Fire away. But Joe Burrow had just had a couple big weeks in a row, so I'm going to stash him maybe. And that was that game where inexplicably the Texans beat the shit out of the Chargers.
I remember that. Yes. It was so sweet. Burrow as a Chiefs fan, like, it was great. Like it, I think it pushed us into first place in the division. It was still a race at the time.
Yeah, awesome. It was like a
great
big
stuff.
Game.
Classic Chargers.
That was also the week where Burrow had like 300 yards at halftime, and it was really his coming. And I obviously lost that week. But not only that, I had the high score in the league the next two playoff rounds. So if I had made one decision differently on the season, I would have won the title. And I wound up in like fifth.
Yeah.
It was brutal. Bummer. And no, I'm
it's,
like, bummer.
It is. It's tricky. Like those are the moves. Now, look, I don't want to sit Burrow. I mean, I picked Burrow because I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I like him for a couple reasons. I think he, you know, I think that like Mahomes and Burrow are very similar as far as like they're rushing QBs, like they do a lot of interesting stuff. They get points on the board, and I feel like that fantasy really rewards that. Like, you know,
100% points where you can get them. Yeah,
yeah, and it's like, and so I'm all in. But sometimes I'm like, hey, look, if you're like that's the other thing too. It's like, how are you playing? If your calf is sore, are you like, are you going to play the full game? Are you going to like? I'm always nervous
scramble?
About that. Yeah,
this calf injury feels so mysterious, right? Like, there's something to it that.
It's how I feel about Cooper Kupp too. It's like
once
I got nervous, because he was on my roster of like who I would want to pick, and then once I heard he went to like Texarkana to get like some meet some doctor, I was like, nope, not into it. Like once you're flying somewhere else to like get somebody look, like shit's gone wrong.
Yeah, you got the doctor who was like fixing up the criminals on Ozark.
Yeah. If you're leaving like, Los Angeles because there's not a doctor here.
It's like what LeBron James said. Like when LeBron James like was like, I went to like the LeBron James feet doctors. I'm like, That you're messed, and you saw he was messed up. He played. He was just not great. But it's like
this is like when in Friday Night Lights when Street goes to Mexico to try to get the miracle surgery on his legs. I'm gonna reference that show a lot.
Oh my gosh, the best. You know, but that to me is, you know, I like Burrow. I want Burrow to be there.
Me too.
But it's like, but I do feel like I'm worried. I get worried. I'm like, I don't know how you're gonna play on it.
Yeah.
But again, somebody will tell me on Wednesday or Thursday how he's feeling, and it will be a different story.
Do you guys follow projected points? How much does projected points do you take into consideration when you see it there?
I follow it more and more as the season goes on. Like, I think earlier in the year, I'm more likely to be like, I think they're wrong about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, by the time the season started, people had caught up. But at the beginning of the year, I was already like, Calvin Ridley's the number one there. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And, like, by the time the matchups came. But, like.
Well, look at this, right? This is interesting. Like, let's just look at this week, right? So, for me, Burrow projected at 20 points, got 16. Higgins projected at 14, got 28. Sutton, 9, gave me 11. Then it was like a White got me 11, gave me 21. So it's like they're like, I think that it's a, like, but then like there's people like Olave, like he's like right in the pocket, like he's right in the like the zone, like you know, it's tricky. I always feel like within 1 or 2 points, it's like that's what I always feel like, and then
that's
you get
the margin of error.
Yes,
because if you have the like an Eckler who's projected for 16. And you're Rashad White for 11, you're not going to do it. But if you have like a guy who's 13 and a, like I'm looking at next week in the Foosballs League, I have Kirk 13.2, London 13, Mike Williams 12.4, Ayuk 13.5, Michael, like they're all, I have like seven guys in the exact same pocket.
Oh,
that's brutal.
And this is why, like my first week, Burrow, 19 points, gave me 3, right? Then it was T. Higgins.
Brutal.
You know, 13 points, gave me 0. You know, and then you have like, then you have like Dalton Schultz. He gave me, it was supposed to be a 7, gave me 2. Like, it's like,
that's because Nico Collins is stealing everything in Houston. Yeah. He's like emerged.
But thank God I had the Jets that week because I got 20 off of 5.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's like, and that's the thing. It's like, that Jets game was fantastic. I mean, that was like,
it was a blast. It's the best, like, the last game of the opening weekend was the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you look at this, like, I'm just not, I mean, this projected points is so interesting because it's like, I also feel like different places nail it better. Like, that's what I realized. It's like, I never liked the ESPN projected ones.
Hmm.
Yahoo is kind of new to me. I've been a Sleeper guy. That's my new go-to. I try to get everybody to go to Sleeper.
What is that?
Sleeper is a fantasy football app. I have no affiliation with them. I'm not making any money from Sleeper. But I do my basketball. I know. I do my fantasy basketball on them, too.
No
and
shit.
They do an interesting fantasy basketball because their fantasy basketball, it's like fantasy football. So you have your team, but you pick a game. So you're like, oh, I think Kawhi will go off against the Spurs. So that's the game. I'm not taking them for the whole week. So you get like a little bit more of a, you pick games. You can also get.
I like that.
I like it too because it's sort of like, it makes it a little, because like sometimes I think like fantasy baseball, it's like you set it and forget it. It's like, oh, that's my team. I'll see what I get. Yeah. You're just like kind of like trolling for shrimp. Like, oh, that was a good catch.
Yeah.
But this, like, you have to think like, all right, who do I think they'll play the best at? Oh, they've been having a couple bad games. Let me sit them here. And then you can, and if they bench them for a game that you've picked, like, all right, so, you know, I picked Paul George, but he's sitting. I can then play him another game or take him out. Like, you don't, like, just because you've picked him, if they don't play, you get that spot back again.
So, oh, that's
awesome. Yeah, so that's a, it's a good, it's a, you don't get penalized for them not getting off the bench.
Like
but if they
get
off the bench for 5 minutes, it's locked.
I like that Draymond Green last game last year where they were like, he's out, and then he starts at the last minute, plays like, because he wanted to be in the game against someone, or because it was Klay's first game back.
Yes.
Oh,
he wanted to start with him. He played 2 seconds, took a take foul on someone and left the game. So you would have been pissed about
that. Oh, yeah. Well, so, by the way, so what I like about Sleeper ultimately is it's a cell phone based, it looks really pretty. It's like, it's a cell phone based fantasy. Like, everything is like built and designed for cell
mobile
phones. Oh,
okay.
And because I've been for the longest time, just, I'm like, I'm not at my computer. And I feel like a fantasy, when I first started fantasy, it's like, well, I do this at work and this is what I do. But I'm like, I need to be on my phone. I need to be able to pull up stuff on my phone and see it and be able to. And it's just a really clean, it's a nice, clean interface. No, I found it and I've been trying to convert people over to it because it's just, and their draft board's really pretty. It's like, it's a good deal.
Well, as Sleeper, who, pay us money and next season.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Next season, we'll do the league on Sleeper.
Yeah, as somebody who had to draft on my phone.
Yeah, during a power outage.
Yeah, during the power outage, I did not enjoy Yahoo's
I think Yahoo
draft.
Sucks. Like, yeah. I mean, and no offense to Yahoo, but it's like, it feels like an old ass app. And it's like, isn't this thing making you a ton of money?
I find that Yahoo, if you're on your computer, is the best. Okay. But you're right. It compared to if you have to be on your phone, which a lot of us do now, I agree.
That's where I'm making my last minute decisions. I'm in bed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I put my kids down. It's, you know, I got to make my waiver wire. Like, it's like, I'm like, pull out the thing. I'm like, and then the other thing that I like about Sleeper is they build in, and not that I do this that much, but they build in the betting in there too. So if you just want to start taking bets in there too, you could just boom.
Oh,
like, you're built
that's great
in
too.
So you can like you can do it
all right there.
Yeah, you can just take a little moment for yourself, or you could, or that's what we did in our fantasy league last year. We turned after the season was over. We just turned into a betting league, and we started like just we all put money in and bet again. Like we had our little thing, and that was a great way to end the season.
Yeah,
because it's sort of like fun. Oh yeah, you just bet on playoff games, and it like but players, you know, and everyone drafts for a certain amount of money, and then it was like that was the most fun I've had because it was like kept the season alive for a couple more weeks.
Yeah,
when you were describing like having a hunch that a guy's going to go off in a certain game, that appealed to me because I'm like that could fill the void because like when I have that hunch, I have to bet on it.
Right.
So like now I can just play that way.
Well, that's in the basketball world, it's great because it's like, you just kind of be like, oh, this is great. And like you have your team and you still have to build your team and you can't, you know, there's stuff. But I like that fantasy football meets, and people are mixed on it. Carl's very mixed on it. Carl's on my fantasy. But a lot of people like it because it just gives you a reason to look at the schedule and the lineup. It's like, that's what I feel like. With football, it's like there's not much I can do. It's like one game a week.
Oh, yeah.
If they're going to be injured or not.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward who I'm going to play.
I think that's why football is the most accessible fantasy sport for people.
Yeah.
But baseball and basketball take a little bit more nerdery, I feel like, which is why I'll have fucking spreadsheets for my fantasy basketball team and shit. I love it. But I feel like for the non-insane sicko, football is the, like, you get it. You get your guys. You look at the waivers once a week. You make
it's pretty
your start
accessible.
Sits
yeah,
once
yeah,
a week.
Like yeah, yeah. Speaking of waivers, should we tell people what they should have gotten on the waiver?
Yeah, let's tell.
I like this. Yeah,
we're gonna do. This is week two. We're gonna do our week one waiver wire. should have picked up last week.
Yeah, our show comes up on Wednesday, so people, and also we can do this week's too because once they receive it, they'll
But yeah, so. Well, I guess it comes up late Tuesday night, though.
So people could, in theory. So we don't want to be helpful in any way.
Right,
This show, we don't actually want you to succeed in your fantasy leagues.
We're
actively trying to sabotage you.
Who you should have picked up for week two? I mean, Pittsburgh defense.
Puka,
we told you, though.
Yeah.
Everyone
told you.
Knew Puka. Josh Reynolds on Detroit, guys. And here's why you should have picked him up. 23 points.
Yeah, if you didn't
I mean,
do
come
that.
On. How do you not pick him up? 23 points.
You should have done that.
You should have done that. Josh Dobbs, 25 fantasy points.
But who saw that coming? You should have.
Yeah, you guys should have seen that. Tank Dell, come on.
You know what I like, too? By the way, like this is the thing I've been doing. And this may be, I don't know where I can find this on Yahoo, but what people are dropping and adding.
That's so helpful.
That.
Yeah, the
because we're sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because some, here's what it is. Some leagues, this is what I recommend on Yahoo. Some leagues don't have the same waiver wire stuff as others. So before you have to make your waiver claims, some leagues are already making their moves. And you can go in on Yahoo and like see who the most added guys are. And that's a great starting point for who you need to look at, for who you're at.
And now I know we're going back. I know we're going back a week, but here's the top four picks on Sleeper like that you should get. Now these are not like I'm not saying I can get these. Some of these people are owned already.
Yeah,
but it's Jerome Ford, Matt Breda, Josh Reynolds, Tony Jones, and Kyren Williams. Like those are the top five.
Who is there. Tony Jones?
Tony Jones filled in for the injured Saints running back last night. Jamal Williams went down.
Oh,
Alvin Kamara's already suspended.
Touchdowns, yeah.
And he had a very Jamal Williams game, which was like 30 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Here's rushing. Of those five, Jerome Ford, I think, is the slam dunk.
Yeah.
If you watched the game last night, my Steelers got a win, but it fucking sucked. Nick Chubb, who I love.
Oh my gosh, I have Chubb in one. That was one of the, you talk about this dropping. Like I was like, drop. I couldn't even look.
Done.
So in the foosballs, I have three teams. My first team, I have Eckler. Second team, I have Chubb. And then foosballs, I go to draft, and I'm choosing between Eckler and Chubb. Which guy do I want to double down on? And Eckler's already missed the game.
Yeah.
So it's not great. But if you didn't, it was the only time I've ever seen a football broadcast refuse to play a replay of an injury.
That was wild.
They did the Toy Story version though.
Oh, what is this Toy Story shit?
They showed the Toy Story replay.
I saw the replay online because I'm gross and I wanted to see.
How bad was it?
I saw the picture, the still frame. I was like, "Ooh, that's." I mean, it's
there was.
Is it worse than Theismann? To me, it looked.
It was a cleaner angle than Theismann for sure. The only one I would say for football that I've ever seen that was worse was that Lattimore running back from South Carolina. You remember him? He was going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And it was because, and this is gross, but it was because he was like rolling after he got hit.
Right.
And basically like when he rolled, the leg flopped, for lack of a better word, flopped up, and you could see the way at which it was tenuously still connected.
I remember watching this year that the Paul George injury, like he like it's like his leg went blittled up, you know. It's so upsetting to me to even see. Like I was like I can't go back and watch it because almost it's just too painful because you realize and then I get in my head about this. It's like, oh God, poor guy. Like, I mean,
it's such a bummer.
He had one in college too that was one of the gnarlier ones. Nick Chubb did.
Chubb? Yeah, Chubb's.
At Georgia, he blew out every ligament in his knee. He's 27, 28 now, but that could be, I hope it's not because I love Chubb. Even playing on a rival team. And you could tell the Steelers, as the announcers are saying they're not going to show the replay, they show it on the Jumbotron. And you can hear the Steelers fans go, oh. And like Steelers fans, when they're carting off Nick Chubb, Steelers fans are giving him like a huge round of applause and chanting Nick Chubb because even they were like,
they were watching it like eating Primanti Brothers sandwiches.
Yeah, they had
coleslaw's
on the sandwich. I'm still not sure about Mike Tomlin. Racist Steelers fan. Anyways, it was ugly. And so Ford comes in, has 100 yards. He's truly, we're talking next man up day. I mean, Ford, he also had a touchdown that was
pretty
about
wild.
A foot short.
Yeah,
it was called a touchdown initially. Then I don't know how they were right. They made the right call to reverse it. I don't know how though, because there wasn't a ref within 30 fucking yards.
No, it's so funny. I feel like there must be something else because I feel like there's been a couple things where I'm like, well, that's a first down. You know what I think it is? That was a tricky one because it was a goal. But like I feel like the line on the TV is not exactly right because sometimes that's first down. It's like, no, we got pulled the chains. And like, oh, it's not. It's never that close. It's so funny when you see that because it's like, oh, you get so excited because like, oh, that's
yes. And then it happened in the Chiefs Jags game. I think something we don't realize is that NFL referees are probably really, really good at their jobs.
They're so good at it.
I mean, they're like they're human, so they make the
right.
They can miss some bad calls, but like
they're so like when I think about like how they manage to like know to watch someone's feet when a pass is coming in while like checking everything else out and they nail it. I'm like, wow.
Look, I ref my kids' soccer games and I coach, but I'm also like, and watching soccer, I mean, I'm not comparing the two, but even just trying to keep track of offsides is impossible because like you're watching so many things. You know, I watch these guys, like they're watching, like there's so many people on the field. There's so many things going on. It's like It's a tricky call because it's like it's even the angles that you can kind of get are I have a lot of respect for it.
Literally my first job I ever had when I was 15, I was a little league umpire. It was
brutal.
I know. And then I was umping Babe Ruth games. I'm like, I'm 15, these kids are 13 and 14. but you would get chewed out for stuff. But then I did a younger kids softball game that was like 7 and 8 year old girls, and I've never been chewed out so much. And it was because once you get to the point where the skill level is more chaotic and kids can just run and like if you just ran, you'd probably never get out. You have to like call timeout when everyone's on the base. And that drove people like it's a hard. We love to shit on them, but
you're managing. I mean, I think it's the uniforms. The uniforms don't make your life any easier.
It's tricky. And look, you're also making a call, right? It's like you're making a call on some of like I got into a I got into an issue with my own ref. I was coaching this weekend with, you know, again, soccer, but I had an issue with, I didn't understand how she was calling the game, you know, and look, it's AYSO, it's great, you know, it's fun. But I was like, but it was funny because I went up to her and be like, well, wait, what's the timing of the game? And the minute I just approach, I'm coming, I'm not being confrontational, but the reaction is, you're confrontational. It's like, and that's a really tricky thing. It's like, I can't get out of that.
That's the issue I feel like that refs, where they get the criticism is a little more deserved, is how soft they are. Like basketball refs with technical. There was a great one from baseball this year where the catcher, there's like a wild pitch with no one on base, so the ball's just gone, right? Did you see this? The catcher holds his left hand up for the ump to put the ball in. The ump doesn't put it there for a second. The catcher pulls his hand down as the ump's gently, and like the ball just kind of drops, and the ump just throws the catcher out of the game.
Whoa.
And it was like the wildest thing. It was like just toilet paper soft, some of these umpires.
Yeah, it's
like,
so funny.
Wild stuff. I think we got to get moving here. Paul, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure.
This was a blast,
I mean, I'm in ninth place. So we'll see as the season progresses.
A lot of season to
go. But that really is only, I guess you're going to go by points. It's whatever. But we're all in third place.
Everyone's a game out of first, except for
truly.
All of us are a game out of first.
There is
Carl.
A lot of parity in the Foosballs Fantasy Football League.
Yes.
It's very, very tight. I mean, I think, Mitch's team has got like up there in points, and they're 0-2.
Yeah, Mitch is 0-2, and he's got like Waddle and some guys that I think are going to come on a little stronger.
It's early, folks.
Well, that's
it's early.
The thing. It's like, and I've always preached that. It's like you got to trust your own draft, unless an injury, got to trust your own draft for at least the first 5 weeks. You can't be like
can't
going
bail.
Crazy on the waiver wire. Like, yes, one or two. Like, I have a bunch of like deep wide receivers and deep, running backs, but I'm not touching that main lineup that my pick.
You drafted them for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
I think, you know, like it's worth, if you're in one of those leagues where you have auction bidding, it's worth bidding a lot on Ford and maybe Kyren Williams too. I wouldn't go crazy on Tony Jones Jr. because he'll only have 1 week before Kamara comes back.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like Williams' injury is too bad.
Yeah, so I wouldn't go. I mean, if you needed someone for this week, if you had a Chubb or an Eckler or Saquon who's out a few weeks now, then
and
like,
I'm also not high on Breida, by the
me
way.
Me neither.
Okay, this is good. Now here's my question.
He's
going
to play San Francisco in his first game.
Yeah.
Like,
do you go and look at, like right now I'm looking at the two teams and that are in the last place.
Yeah.
Do you go to them and go, what can I get from these
yes.
guys?
Yes. Who are you panicking about?
Yeah.
I think that's savvy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough move because I'm not one for trades. I always feel like there's something going on with a trade. I got to figure out what's really happening here.
I pride myself on offering trades that I think is very mutually beneficial.
Equitable
trades. Yeah. I think it's.
What was it? Pickens and Swift for who?
Saquon.
Saquon's out 3 weeks. It might be. Yeah.
I think it's pretty reasonable.
Pickens had a big day last night on basically one play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Pickens, though.
Yeah.
And they've played two really tough defenses to start the season. So I think
also the guy I offered the trade to, I know, is a big Steelers homer.
That's
that's
smart. You got to play into people's
yeah.
homerisms.
I love it.
All right, guys. Thank you, Paul, for coming in.
Thanks,
this was
Paul.
So fun.
So fun.
We will see you guys next week. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.